So, what's in a name? That's what I want to look at this morning. What's in a name? There are many different titles that people can have. You can have princes, princesses, dukes, earls, barons, sirs, ladies, professors. Even in my work life, people call me doctor, even though I'm not a medical doctor. I'm just not really any sort of doctor. I just read a lot of books, really. I'm an academic doctor, but some people would call me doctor, but Kyle is just fine by me. But people have many different titles. And did you know that Prince Charles, His Royal Highness, he has it's a wonderful name, but I'm going to read it to you and take in this name. It says this: His Royal Highness Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales, Earl of Chester, Duke of Cornwall, Duke of Rothesay, Earl of Carrick, Baron of Renfrew, Lord of the Isles, and Prince Great Stuart of Scotland. It's a bit of a mouthful. I think if you had to do a bit of a callback, if somebody was ringing you back and they had to pronounce all this, I think they would hang up the phone. There was actually more letters in the name as well, and I didn't know what they were, so I just had to omit them. But these are just names. These are titles. I was privileged enough when I was younger, at the age of 8, I met Her Royal Highness Princess Diana. So I met a real princess. And that was a wonderful day. We were excited, of course, with things the way they were in Northern Ireland. You didn't really know until the day for security who would be coming. I had been to a stay in a hospital, in Ulster Hospital, for a time, and I had physiotherapy there. And I got to know the people quite well. And whenever they built a new wing, they wanted me to come and do physio in front of Her Royal Highness, which seems quite strange. But as soon as my mother heard it, she was like, we're definitely going. So we went to the hospital and we got to meet Her Royal Highness Princess Diana. And that was a wonderful day because she was a real princess. And you got to speak with her and you got to spend time with her. But only for about 30 minutes. We only spent time, about 30 minutes with her, and yet we prepared so much. We got all new outfits, and we had to get the hair done, and get a bath, and get washed, and all these things, just to meet this princess. And you know, we put a lot of effort in, if we were to meet a real-life prince or princess, we put a lot of effort into that. But you know that we have a prince in heaven who we can commune with every day and every hour. And we don't need to be going, I mean, we can just pray with him and speak with him. And of course, that is Christ, Jesus Christ. And there are many names for Jesus in Scripture. And they're all different titles. Jesus, Lord, the Alpha, the Omega, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God, Emmanuel, God with us, Messiah, Jehovah, Son of Man, Master, the Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth, Wonderful Counselor. So many great titles. But yet today, I just want to look at one. And that is in Acts 3, verse 15, Prince of Life. You see, this was the second sermon of Peter after the day of Pentecost, and it's a good sermon because it focuses on Christ. It'll be a much better sermon than what I will deliver today. But my grandfather, who's away to glory now, he was an elder in our Ballygown church, and he always said to me, he says, if you can speak to the Lord for any minute or any time, he says, do it, but make sure you mention Christ, because he says there is no other. Mention Christ, because there is no other. And that's what Peter was doing. He was preaching Christ. He was preaching about the man who they had been a failure, who they had mocked, who they had scourged, and who they had put to death. Yet Jesus was the one that Peter preached about. He was faithful to Christ. They had witnessed man's wickedness as they bore false witness to him, as they had whipped him, they beat him, and they nailed him to a cross. And you know, this was Peter, he was preaching after the resurrection. And you might forgive Peter for saying, well, you know, you maybe don't need to preach so forcefully about this situation because the Lord has died and has gone to heaven. But Peter, he didn't hold back. He just told them what had happened. You'd put the Holy One to death, the Prince of Life, because Peter was doing what the Lord commanded. Like what we read with the children just shortly, a short time ago in Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, it was God's plan to go and evangelize the people. And Peter did not hold back. He told the people, those, ye are the one that crucified him. You are the ones that let him die. He was talking to the Jews. The Holy One, the Just One, the perfect man. You killed the Prince of Life. And as we know from this story, it was the people and the rulers and the political people who drove this. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They wanted to get remove him. And you see, they wanted the people to get their focus off of Christ and onto something else. And this sounds familiar. In our land today, people don't want to listen to the gospel. They don't want to listen to Christ. They just turn away. Our land and nation wants a bulwark for the glorious gospel, and both Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom has really turned its way, or turned its back on God. And the depravity of man's sin, he just does what he likes. And as Christians, that grieves us. And there's false religions and opposition from at all sides. I remember when we used to do some outreach, you know, when you used to ask people to a meeting, they would take the invitation and they would come. They would say, I will come. Whereas now people will just say no to your face and give you it back or throw it down. People are just nearly angry. They don't want to be listen to the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth. You see, people are enemies of the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth. Some people have the same attitude today. They do not want to follow Christ. And the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. And when we read Genesis 6 and 5, we see even then, at the time before the flood, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And in some ways today, it's the same. People just do not want to live for God. They don't want to live for the Prince of Life. They don't want to accept him. They want to be able to do what they like in their own eyes. And you know, it says in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there is anything, be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And when we read those things, we can see our land is like that today. People don't want to live for God because people want to live for the darkness. They don't want to live for the light. And that can make us sometimes a little bit downhearted. That can make us be discouraged. But friend, today I want to show you that we have the Prince of Life. He is the one that is in control. He is the one that sustains us. He helps us physically. He helps us spiritually. And he will give us eternal life. Because Christ is sovereign. He is in control of all things. The word prince is used many times throughout Scripture. But this particular word has a particular meaning. And I'm not a scholar of Greek, so I had to look at a concordance and study this a little bit. But this word actually means prince, but it also means author and captain. And you may be downhearted today about the situation in our world or even with the COVID-19 situation. But remember that you have the prince, but you also have an author and a captain. Because you see, we have a prince that is to be worshipped. It says in Acts 5 and 31, God exalted him to his right hand as Prince and Savior in order to grant repentance and forgiveness of the sins to Israel. We have a Prince that we can worship. Yes, we can have earthly princes and queens and all of those things, but we have the Prince of Life in our lives that we can worship. But also we have the author of our faith. God is the, and Jesus is the one who created our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith, who we're to look on. It says in Hebrews 12 and 2. But also, he's our captain. It says in Hebrews 2 and 10, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, there's nothing else to preach, only Christ only. He's the author of our salvation, he's the captain to guide us, and he's also a prince to be worshipped. He's the author of our salvation, He's a captain to guide us, but he's also a prince to worship. That's who the God of God is, or the Prince of Life is. He's the creator of all things, but he's the one who wrote the word. He's in control of the word, or the world, and he's the one who we are to worship and the one who can save us. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That we have somebody who's in control of all things. He's an author. He's our captain to direct us, and he's our prince that we can worship him. Like I said, the title, the Prince of Life, there's many other titles in Scripture for Jesus, but what a wonderful title this is. He is the Prince of Life because Jesus is the fountain of life. He says himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is nothing outside of Christ. Anything that men may have, it's just futile, it's just material. The spiritual of God is the things that are to be sustained. And if you're saved today, you have the truth, you have the life, and you can live for God. But if you are not, then, as Christ says, then you're dead in your trespasses and your sins. Yes, humanly speaking, you might not be dead, but spiritually speaking, you're dead. If you die in your sin, you're lost. And that's what this verse is telling us. You're dead in your trespasses and your sins. Today you need to come to the Prince of Life, because what does God say? He says in John 10:10, might have life and might have it more abundantly. You see, when you come to Christ, then you have abundant life. Life is worth living. Everything he touches is more abundant. The weeds turn into flowers, and the deserts turn into floods. You don't understand, whenever you're saved, you have this everlasting change in your life. Because God can do mighty things. He can do mighty things for you this morning. You may be going through a time of difficulty, maybe sickness, maybe job prospects, I don't know. But you have to cling to God and ask him to control all things and ask him for help. Because like I said, he's the author and captain and prince. He can help you and he can guide you. It's like the funeral procession in Luke 7 when a widow woman lost her son and Jesus came along and he said to the woman, weep not. And that is a strange thing to say at a funeral. If somebody said that to someone now at a funeral and said, look, I can sort this out, they would think that they were mad. But yet the Prince of Life, he is the one that gives life, and he raised the boy from the dead. And he went home probably carrying the coffin with him, with others, because God came in and he sustained that life. You see, we are sustained by God in our walks, in our lives. We are sustained by him. When we get saved, we enjoy our salvation. But then the Lord sustains us. He guides us like our captain. He directs us. And sometimes in your Christian walk, sometimes, you know, you have that experience when you get saved and you're on fire for God. And then sometimes as life goes on, sometimes that same burning desire can fade a little bit. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have lost your salvation, certainly not. But sometimes it just doesn't have that same burning desire in your life. And sometimes people consult books and people and they try to do all, humanly speaking, what they can to stir that up again. But actually what they just need to do is get back to Christ. You need to get back to the book and back to the truth. And I speak to myself this morning as well. It's just like what we told the children, a pencil needs sharpening. And we need to keep praying and keep reading our Bible so that we can get that zeal and that boldness. Because if you have that, then you have food and nourishment for the soul. If you don't eat for a number of days, you will feel weak. And if you don't eat for a number of weeks, eat for a number of months, you will perish. And it's the same with being a Christian. You need to be nourished. You need to be in the book and in prayer so that you can be sustained. A lot of times in our world today, and I see it particularly in working in the university, so many young people who have mental health problems, and they just don't know where to turn because they're trying to use modern-day worldly outcomes to sustain them. And that might be work or entertainments or fitness or the internet or anything. But yet, while all those things are okay in moderation, they count for nothing. And I see that in young people today. People who are not saved, they're looking for the next thing and the next thing because they want to be fulfilled. They want to have that abundant life, that sustained life. And the reason why they don't have it is because they don't have Christ. They're not saved. You must return to Christ because it says in John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." In other words, if you don't read and pray and come close to God, you will never grow. The fruit will never come forth. And you need to spend time in the book. And I understand that sometimes work can get in the way. And you can spend so much time working or doing things with the family or just life sometimes. It just gets in the way. But sometimes you need to be focused and you need to say, okay, I need to spend some time with God each day. And then you can be sustained. Because there's an abiding in Christ and a drawing from Him that gives sustenance. Yes, you're saved and you have everlasting life forever. But you want to be able to enjoy the experience. You don't want to become dull. You want to enjoy the experience of being a Christian. Sometimes I meet Christians about, and sometimes they look like the most unhappy people around. And sometimes I get frustrated because I think, well, as a believer, you know, you understand everything. You've got the book and you can understand what's happening in the world and you understand what's going to happen after you leave this earth because you're prepared and ready to live for God. You see, living with the Prince of Life should be a blessing rather than a hindrance. We should enjoy life and be sustained. Because the second thing that we can read or learn about when it comes to the Prince of Life is that He rules amongst the living. He rules amongst us. If you're saved today, then the Prince of Jesus Christ rules your life. But if you're not saved, then the Prince of Darkness, well, he rules your life. And it means that you're spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. But if you're saved today, if you have the Prince of Life in your life, then he's with you today. Praise God. He wants you to worship and honor him, but he's with you every step of the way. He's guiding you and he's directing you. He's talking with you. He wants to talk with you. Are you listening to him? Sometimes we don't take the time to listen. And that's what I mean about praying. When you read your Bible, when you pray, and then you spend time in the Word, you can hear God. And all the things of the world can be quietened down and you can hear God speaking with you. Are you listening? Are you talking with your Prince every day, as you can be, or as you should be? Because you see, these people in this chapter, they weren't listening to the Prince. They killed him. That was the height of man's sin. They killed him. The Jews put him to death. And they let out a robber or a man that was wicked instead of Christ. Even when Pilate was going to release Christ, they wanted the robber instead. And you see, these people were rejectors of Christ. These people, they didn't want, like we said at the start, they didn't want anything to do with him. They wanted just to kill him. And you know, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're just like these people. You see, you need to be saved. You need to make the Prince of Life your author and your captain and your savior. Because if you're not saved, you're playing a dangerous game. You're killing the Prince of Life. And what will you do with Jesus today? Because as Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for all of our sins. And one thing that struck me as I was thinking about this was there were the people that actually put Jesus on the cross and did those things to him. He died for them as well. But it's the same for all of us. He died for all of us. And you need to make him your author and your captain and your savior. Because Christ himself said, they know not what they do. They were rejecting and mocking him. But yet God's love for us is everlasting. It says in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, you may not have been to jail or done any of these horrible crimes, but in God's eyes, if you're not saved, you're still a sinner. And yet the Lord wants you to be saved today, because you cannot defeat God. Because God and his Son, Jesus Christ, they were not defeated. Because on the third day, he rose again. And he gave us the glorious gospel. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, defeated death and sin, so that we might be redeemed. And that's our glorious privilege. That's our glorious privilege. And we think, as we think about the Prince of Life, that's our glorious privilege as Christians. Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. This is God's method of dispensing eternal life, our life itself. It's witnessing. That's what we're doing here in this church. We're being a witness for the Lord. The message is to proclaim the message of the gospel with our lips to Christians. You know, are we doing that today? You might say, well, I could never be a preacher. I could never be do those things. But you know, you could be involved in your church. You might not be the preacher or the speaker, but you could help everything run. You know, they're always looking for people to help in different parts of the church, physically and helping with the cleaning and with meetings, and maybe it's just sitting with the children or cleaning or doing something. You can be doing something for God, and that can be your witness. You know, you don't understand what a challenge it can make to people when they realize that on a Tuesday night or on a Wednesday night, you don't do anything because you go to the prayer meeting. That's your time. Or on a Sunday, you don't go and do the shopping and all those things because you're at church, you're in God's house. And that in itself can be a witness. But you see, the Lord wants to use us as Christians. He wants us and he wants to take us and use us for good. We can be the preacher, we can speak a word to people. And you might say, well, I don't know what I could say. But leave it up to the Lord. Because it's the Holy Spirit that actually does the work. You can say these things, but actually, it's the Holy Spirit who works in dispatch. He's the one that will take the word that you have to say and send it to those who need to hear it. And this power is available today, to you today. Yes, the people killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him. And let us as Christians tell that story. Let us never be afraid to tell of the story of Jesus. And this was Peter's intention, here to tell the story. He wanted to tell people, yes, you that were there were involved and you were guilty, but yet there is an offer of mercy. Because it says in Acts 3, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That is the story that we have to tell as believers. You know, we want to be able to tell that story. We want to be able to tell it faithfully. It can be in many parts of this church. It could be in the Sunday school. It could be in the prayer meeting. It could be anywhere. It could be out in the street. You know, there's a mission coming up. There's a perfect opportunity to even invite people in, to try and get them to come in to these meetings, these anniversary services. And today, friend, I just want to say to you, those that are saved, I pray that you will trust and live for the Prince of Life, because he's your author and your captain and your savior. But if you're not saved this morning, remember that the Prince of Life is an author and a captain and a savior. And he can save you this morning. He's the one that converts. He's the one that will take away your sin and give you abundant life. You might think that your life is as good as it is, but see, when you have Christ, it is so much better. Because you can see Christ working in your life, and he can do a wonderful work for you. I want us to live up our hearts to the Lord and know his salvation, the risen, exalted Prince of Life.